Thank you. All of the speakers, I think, have talked about the profound and troubling mass incarceration that we now have in the United States. And most in the public, I think, now relates to that. But I think what is not being discussed is what happens when all these prisoners come home. We spent the last decade thinking about who should go to prison. You know, the public passed three strikes, mandatory drug laws, and on and on and on. And we gave very little thought to what happens when they all come home. And it's just, if you quadruple the prison population like we've done since 1960, you quadruple the number of people coming home. And the public is very unaware. They somehow think that when you send them to prison, they will be there for a very, very long time. In fact, the average prison term is 2 years, and probation and parole violators do much, much less time. So if you think about this statistic, which I think focuses you on the moment of release from prison as well as the focus on mass incarceration, 45% of everybody sitting in a prison cell today will be released within the year. So half of everybody that is there will be returning home. Most of those people are uneducated, illiterate, unemployable, lack social support, and will be increasingly lacking all of the kinds of supports that we think would help in their reintegration. They'll be given, at most, here in California, we give them $200. We're actually one of the states the highest that gives the most money. Most of them return to inner city communities. What the data show is there's fewer and fewer areas willing to accept prisoners who are released, so we're concentrating them in smaller and smaller number of neighborhoods. Those neighborhoods are the least able to deal with them. Lack of jobs, lack of housing, you can name it. As it turns out, it's a lot easier to get out of prison than it is to stay out of prison. 70% of everybody released from prison will be back in a prison within 3 years, and it's predictable. We know that about three-quarters of all prisoners going in will have a substance abuse problem. About 1 in 5 are diagnosed mentally ill. They, too, are coming out. So they have an average sixth-grade education level. They're about 29. On average, they've got about 9 prior arrests, 2 prior jail terms. They've been to prison before. And so this churning just goes on and on and on. And what my work has been focused on for the last several years is the moment of release. It either, when you think about that moment of release, it either represents a great opportunity. After all, we've spent for each of those people coming out about $100,000 when you consider the operational costs and the costs of their cell. On average, $100,000 investment. And yet when we release them, they're released pretty much on their own, though I say that with deference to Robert Ambroselli, who is the head of parole in California, and he probably would not like me to say that they're basically on their own, but I think he'd probably agree with me. We have very little money, and it's getting less and less. This conference and this committee that we're on could not be happening at a more opportune time. We're going to see state after state, because of the budget crisis, we're spending $65 billion a year on corrections in the United States. It is the fastest growing state budget item and has been for more than a decade, except for Medicaid. So the costs are tremendous, and states can't afford it. We simply cannot afford the punitive policies that we've adopted over the last decades. States are closing prisons. They're releasing people early. And it's a catch-22. I think many of us who've advocated for less incarceration now should be worried about what communities will offer prisoners when they're released. They now have the stigma of being an ex-con, and they're going to hit community services that are now being cut simultaneously. They're going to stand behind very, very long lines for non-convicts who need the same health care, re-job training that free citizens need. So we've got to, our work is not yet done. I think the public understands about the mass incarceration, but they don't understand that we have another fight to fight, which is how, in fact, we will be receiving the people in these inner city communities in which they are going to be increasingly released. These are incredibly difficult issues that this panel has to struggle with. When we start thinking about mass incarceration and prisoner reentry, it forces us to think about, as the previous speaker said, what do we want? What do we think about sentencing? How do we want prisoners to use their time when they're in prison? How do we think about that release decision? Who should be getting out? Under what kinds of conditions? Who should be going back when they violate the law? And who should be sentenced to community-based alternatives? It also forces us to think, what is the role of government in providing people retraining when we, in fact, have placed them in prison? What is our role there? Do we have any role? How much are we willing to spend on it? And what are the public safety consequences if we say we're not willing to spend very much? There was a recent study that shows parolees are about 20% of all arrests. That's with our current support system. We also have a sheriff sitting in the office, in the audience. When prisoners get released and we start pulling back services and we won't send them to prison, they will in fact end up in our local jails. Less expensive, more impacted, as well as prisons. So I think the panel is going to be struggling with this issue. I'm delighted to be part of this panel. I think these are really complicated issues. I guess the goal for all of us as part of the panel, and I know my colleagues share this, is maybe in our lifetime, you know, mass incarceration won't be such a huge issue because, in fact, more offenders who leave will be going home to stay. Thank you.